The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Tune is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. We don't care how you're taking us in. We just appreciate that you are. Any which way. Anyway, among those four. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland, producer number nine, so much more than the producer, live from Bar Canada here at the Day.
Yo.
What's happening?
Not much. How's it going?
I'm good. You said you had the best night of sleep you've ever had on a weekday here?
Probably.
You're well rested?
Probably, yeah.
All right.
Fell asleep on the couch at like 6:30 or 6:45 last night, and then did the whole like slept there for, I don't know, 3 hours or something.
When you woke up, what was your first thought?
Oh, like I'm always scared. I don't know about you, but when you wake up on the couch, I'm like, oh God, how many hours have I slept here? Because I don't know about you. I don't get good sleep if I fall asleep on the couch. It's like.
Doesn't count as good sleep.
Yeah, it doesn't count
it's
as good
sleep. It's not horizontal sleep.
Not horizontal sleep.
It's
exactly.
All man sleep.
So I woke up and it was like 9:45, 10 o'clock, and then I was like, I'm just going to go to bed now. So
good for you,
I was up
man.
For like 9 hours last night.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We're done. Thanks for listening.
That's it for today.
That's all we got. We actually, Kelly and I could talk a lot of football today because I feel like we have emphasized the NFC East and the AFC North for whatever reason on this show. And by the way, congratulations to me for getting AFC North correct this time because apparently all week I've been saying NFC North. Wait, I mean AFC North. So because of that, we're going to talk NFC North today and NFC West.
Yes.
Why don't we do that? Why don't we get through some divisions? Also, Jason Weingarten will stop by. Sia Najat on golf. I have the old Roku going, Kelly. Now you know I've gotten rid of cable,
yep.
And I pay probably triple or quadruple every single streaming service. So I'm probably paying thousands of dollars a month for
it's
all
absurd.
I know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I miss cable, by the way. I'm not one of these people like, oh, thank God I got rid of cable. I'm like, no, can I get it back, please? I want to go back.
I'm that guy that's paying for everything and can't imagine like doing it otherwise, which is terrible. Like, where I have every streaming service.
How much do you really watch, though?
And cable. Nothing. Like, nothing.
Right.
It's sports on cable, and then you watch streaming service.
So, on the Roku, it populates at the top. Like, everything that you've, I guess, watched. Every time a baseball game's on, it lets me know, hey, this baseball game on. Election cycle, there's all kinds of news stations that go on. By the way, I should read you like some of the election stuff. That's how I know we were pitch perfect on the election segment because now we're getting both sides who saw it all differently. It's so great. I'll read them coming up, some tweets. But and then, of course, you have your random Murder, She Wrote, Kelly, because apparently I watched Murder, She Wrote a couple times, and so it's up there. Murder.
You would.
She Wrote. Because I grew up in the 80s, and it looks like it's 1955 when you're watching
it.
I'm like,
really
how
does.
Is this possible?
Isn't it amazing how some movies and shows, like, just quality-wise don't hold up like that?
So the other thing that was up there was VSiN popped up, because I guess I've watched VSiN enough, a few times, right, so it pops up there. And so last night I decided to turn on the old VSiN, and VSiN Tonight was on with the great Wes Reynolds and Matt Eumanns. And can we start with a little sports talk radio here? Because they did something when I tuned into them. They were doing so. By the way, Wes Reynolds, just an encyclopedia of all sports knowledge and beyond sports. If I say to him, Wes, what's the best Gap Band album? He will immediately shout back, Gap Band 5, Gil. Of course, everybody knows that. I hope you know that. Matt Eumanns, medical marvel. Medical
yes.
Marvel, Matt Eumanns. Not only putting as much fast food into his body as humanly possible, but also... has yet to locate the sunscreen aisle in your local drugstore. So we're going to...
Dude golfs every day when it's 110 degrees out.
Just sunscreen, maybe?
Yeah.
Anyway, the New England Journal of Medicine should write a whole chapter on humans called, like, the human's exception or the human's conundrum and just do a whole profile. It's amazing this man is standing. Anyway, they did a who has had the better golf season? And this is stupid of us that I didn't ask you this, Monday morning. Is it Scottie Scheffler, who won the Masters, who obviously leads in money made, over $28 million this year, Xander over $15 million this year? Scottie's won 6 tournaments, Xander's won 2. Or is it Xander Schauffele, who has gone from the guy that all of us are like, I can't believe you're betting on Xander Schauffele, he never wins anything big, to the guy who has now won two majors this year, there was a U.S. Open in between, finishing with a 65 in both final rounds of his winning majors, which only Jack has done before, which we talked about earlier this week. Who has had the better year? And let me, before you answer, Kelly, because I see you pouring over and trying to come up with your answer here, I believe Wes's conclusion was whoever, if someone wins the Olympic gold, they're the winner. That will be the determinant.
Well, I think we need to include FedEx Cup playoffs in there then, too.
And Scotty Scheffler leads in FedEx Cup points.
Yeah.
And you will have to include the playoffs. Yes.
And we'll have, I mean, yeah, we'll have three events of a playoffs.
Scotty with almost 6,000 and Xander currently over 4,000.
I will say that I have a relatively easy, I think it's an easy answer up until this point, but I think that there are Olympics and playoffs that it's tight enough that my answer could change when it's all said and done.
Wow, you think it's an easy answer?
It's Scotty Scheffler still.
Okay.
I mean, this six wins on the season. It's two majors versus one in favor of Shoffley. I get it. But then there's no other wins for Xander on there. And when you're looking at where Scotty Scheffler has won at, this is where new schedules on the PGA Tour do change things. And the amount of elevated events that he won this year, which are near major-like fields that you're playing in, the best of the best, I mean, he won one, two, three, four elevated events, I believe, is the count. No, five elevated events, along with the Masters. So that's good enough for me. That is better than Xander Schauffele's two major wins.
Okay. It's interesting.
But it's tight enough.
Because we place such emphasis on majors.
Yeah.
Right? J-Rod and I talk about this in women's tennis, right? Iga wins a billion matches and a billion tournaments, right? But, hey, it's still only five majors, which is right on pace with Serena. It's like, oh, she's only won five majors because yeah. People put such an emphasis on the majors themselves.
I don't want to take it. I always start sentences. I don't want to take anything away from winning the Open Championship, but...
However...
Like, there's just, we went over it Monday, right? Like, it is, there are some things, like, that you, there's some details in that tournament every year that you need to be aware of going in and going out of, and I think it applies to anybody that's betting the 3M Open this week as well, is what can you take from last week and bring over to this week? What Billy Horschel did in the Open Championship, is that sustainable going forward? It's not really something we've seen from Billy Horschel that much this year. So how much of the luck factor does come into play? And I think Xander is a little bit of an exception to that because I think he would have been there regardless of the conditions. But the conditions did set up a leaderboard where there were less big names to contend with than you would have seen at the U.S. Open, PGA, or the Masters.
Yeah, but if you extend it to all four majors, remember what we said. Tiger and Jordan Spieth, the only golfers to finish top eight in all four majors in a season since 1980 until Xander.
Mm-hmm.
Did it this year. So anyway, Wes said it's yet to be determined. I think I think Wes was leaning Scotty and says the Olympics will determine it. And Matt seemed to be leaning Xander. I don't want to put words in their mouth. Hank Haney, who they had referenced in their segment as well, said it's Xander.
I'm with Wes, though, that it's not
settled.
I can say Scheffler now. It is not settled. I mean, if Xander goes and wins gold and then say he wins the playoffs, then yes, that's more impressive to me than what Xander's
done. Anyway, I thought they did a great job with that. VSiN tonight with Humans and Reynolds.
There's a lot of, you got me fired up, so I'm going to blame you for this. There's a lot of interesting golf talk things going on right now. Like Ricky Fowler, like I caught this on Rick Gaiman, the First Cut podcast this morning, him bringing this up. Ricky Fowler kind of like seemingly punting on the season is like a little weird. Like he's not inside the line yet for the playoff cutoff. And you've only got two more events before the playoffs start. And he's not playing this week. So you're like, some of these guys you start scratching your head over. And there's a couple interesting stories like that on the PGA Tour right now that you're like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense.
Just goes home to Allison. Everything's okay.
Ricky's one of those guys, like, I wonder about, like, has he made enough money from Puma and endorsements and stuff?
Maybe so, man.
Like, he doesn't want to go to live to possibly ruin endorsement stuff, yet, like, he's good on money. It just doesn't matter in a season like this.
Not to bring up a tennis equivalent, but it's like the Anna Kournikova thing, right?
Yeah.
Anna Kournikova never won a single tournament on the WTA Tour. She got into the top 10, right? The edge of the top 10 once. Never won a single tournament. Made bajillions, right? So at that point, you're like, oh, it's okay.
That's what I kind of think we're at that point with Ricky.
Real quick, before we get to NFL talk, you did make an NFL bet yesterday.
Yeah, I did. I feel like I've been stewing on this for since the end of last season. As soon as MVP markets were posted, I finally pulled the trigger, though. Anthony Richardson, I'm in on. I think it's a little bit of like trying to figure out. It was months of trying to figure out that AFC South, which I think is a bit of a nightmare, and I don't really know if I want to get involved much from a betting standpoint on any of those teams. Like we've talked about, I do think the Texans – I think the Texans are still the best team, and I do expect them to take a step forward even in year two of C.J. Stroud. I just think he's that good. I think we both think that. I think C.J. Stroud is that dude that's going to keep that team going. I think this Colts team is one of like the most volatile teams heading into the season of where they could finish because we didn't see that much from Anthony Richardson. I think the defense needs some work, but man – the good stuff we saw from Anthony Richardson last year, if he can stay healthy for a whole season, I believe he is like a Josh Allen-type quarterback that is a superhero-type throw the team on your back. So I think I'd rather bet that. I'd rather bet Anthony Richardson. I got 40-1, but 31's fine, whatever. I'd rather bet that than betting the Colts to win the division or over their win total because if they do that type of stuff, he's probably in this conversation.
That's a good point.
So I'm skipping those bets and just going to Richardson MVP.
Probably in the conversation, though, he won't be a favorite probably. They're squeaking into the top of the division. It's an interesting play. I feel like, and this is, you know, this is NFL preview guide season. We had our own here at VSiN. We have it. Please do get it. VSiN.com/guide. Obviously, we've talked about Cleve TA's guide. Yesterday, we had Aaron Schatz on talking about the FTN Almanac. We're going to have Warren Sharp on with us in a couple weeks. So I'm in that guide mode, like just immersed. I feel like there are so many teams that have this wide variance of outcomes this year, more so than another issue. I could be wrong about that, that it's more so, but it feels that way. NFL talk next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN NFL betting guide is out now, and our all-new college football guide drops August 1st. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for the college and NFL seasons. Our experts provide profiles of every team with advanced stats, trends, and power ratings, plus best bets on futures and season win totals. Sign up before the end of July and receive both guides and full VSiN Pro access. That's full VSiN Pro access to our daily pro picks, 24/7 video, and exclusive data like our betting splits all the way through the Super Bowl for an early bird discount price of just $175. The football special discount price expires on July 31st, so don't wait. That's a week from today. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Speaking of a week away from the end of July, Royals with a loss yesterday to the Diamondbacks. Let's go.
Yes.
No time to lose now. Pretty much have to go either 6-1 or 7-0 the rest of the way.
By the way, for me being that guy who complains about baseball and like not being able to watch it, like don't worry, you're never gonna miss any Mets Yankees game ever.
Isn't
like that's
amazing?
Loading up on national TV every single time.
It's the most important thing ever.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I know. I got that feeling too. I was talking about our election segment with Jason Weingarten earlier, and you know, it's fascinating again with the most literally like 90% of these were just so positive, right? Ryan Hyatt, great stuff this morning. Key thing here is a nonpartisan look at the reality of the betting markets. No more, no less. That was what we were going for. But here's how I know the segment ended up okay, Kelly, because yesterday we got feedback from both sides, and I want to see if I can find them. We'll get to them momentarily, but they were. Oh, here you go. This is from Mariners Geek, who we love very much. Mariners Geek said, "That was an awful segment, Gil. Maybe one of your worst, and I'm a huge fan of yours. Find people who know what the blank they're talking about. It's not this guy." So he didn't like Jason's viewpoint on things. And that was quickly followed by Real Cormier, who said, "Gil failed to address the fact that the 2020 election was effectively stolen. The 3 a.m. pause of counting that had never happened before. The fake water pipe burst. The tons of mail-in ballots that had never been seen. The blocking of the windows so the poll watchers couldn't see in." So when he talks about sharp sports bettors being donks at politics betting, it's not factoring that in. That's how I know the segment was perfect. Because we've got both sides.
There you go.
That's how you know it's dead on. Okay. This is, let's see, let's get to some from last night. Oh, teasers and parlays. He said, "Man, too bad Skeens gave up that second run in the ninth last night. Cardinals beat the Pirates 2-1, but Skeens was great. It would have been interesting to see what Tom Tango's model had if he had finished with a complete game and just one earned run. Here's your Tom Tango Cy Young model update. American League, Seth Lugo edging Tarek Skubal right now.
Yeah, that's your guy, right? You got
Seth
Lugo,
Lugo's
right?
My guy. Yeah, I have, nice. Have a bet on him. Edging Tarek Skubal, though. You know, you talk about what's sustainable and what's not. We might be in trouble there. Corbin Burns, third, a distant third. National League, Sale 1, Wheeler 2, Reynaldo Lopez 3. Skeen's nowhere to be found. He just really isn't. He's just nowhere to be found. But yeah, it might have been interesting.
Well, isn't it partially because the innings?
Innings.
Yeah. Mainly because the innings.
Tango's formula. By the way, Skeens is all the way down 34.1. When I'm talking about Sale at the top, these are Tango points. He's at 49. Again, the formula is very simple. Innings pitched divided by 2 minus earned runs plus strikeouts divided by 10 plus wins. You don't have to memorize that, but it has a lot to do with just baseball card stats. And yes, getting to 150 innings is huge. And Skeens may or may not get there.
Saw this from Sarah Langs this morning. Skeens' first pitcher with 7 or more strikeouts in at least 11 of his first 12 career appearances. Since at least 1901.
You remember that season.
Yeah.
Rick Copro. Gil, the Superbook shut down their app in all jurisdictions except Nevada. I think that's something you would take joy in reporting. Never enjoy people losing their jobs. And just to follow Veasan, Bob, remember Bob came in this week, said hello, just to follow Veasan tweeting
it.
Thank you, Bob. We always love when people come and say hello. Let's start with a little NFC North. I'll read some more tweets coming up. NFC North, where the Detroit Lions are your favorite, but closely followed by the Green Bay Packers to win the division. Then it's the Bears, not that far behind, to be honest with you. And then the Vikings, one of these teams is not like the others. The Vikings, a distant 10-1 to win this division. Kelly, let's start with the Bears, just because. Who are the third shot to win this? With number one pick, Caleb Williams. Now, again, I'm in preview guide mode, so I'm going to try to give some context on each of these teams that is not like commonly given, and we're going to lean on Aaron Schatz, who was on the show yesterday. Caleb Williams, we all say, coming into a great situation. How great, per Aaron Schatz. By the way, Lions with a season win total of 10.5, plus 150 to win this division. Packers, 9.5, plus 210 to win the division. Bears, 8.5 season win total, plus 265. And then it's the Vikings at 10-1 with a 6.5 season win total. So how good of a situation is, according to FTN and Aaron Schatz, Caleb Williams walking into a situation that by their numbers represents the best supporting cast for a number one pick over the past 25 years and the second best for a top 12 pick behind only Dante Culpepper, who you remember is the 11th overall pick, entered a situation with Randy Moss and Chris Carter. Now, he didn't play his rookie year, really. But that's the only situation. Really, you have to go to Randy Moss and Chris Carter to find a better situation that a top 12 drafted quarterback is entering. That's context. Obviously, it's DJ Moore. It's Keenan Allen. It's Rome Odunze as his receivers. DJ Moore last year, 30% of the team's targets, 40% of the team's receiving yards. That won't be the case this year. That's, of course, without even mentioning Cole Kmet. Defense had a second-half turnaround. That was another thing. They acquired Montez Sweat from the Commanders, and that went very well. They went from 30th in defensive DVOA from weeks 1 to 9 to 6th from weeks 10 to 18. So, you got Shane Waldron replacing Luke Getsy on offense to go along with Caleb Williams, and they got a defense that improved second half. So that's where the Bears stand. Are people probably more bullish on them because things on paper don't often work out? I'm thinking so. Like, I feel like the betting market is a little too bullish on them, but I don't have a bet on either way.
I don't. Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've said this 18 times already, and I'll say it 18 times more before probably the season begins. I don't think there's nearly as big of a separation between where the Bears and Vikings rosters are and then therefore where their odds are on this graphic compared to where the Bears and Packers are. Like, I think there is...
I agree with that.
I think the Bears are much further back from where the Lions and Packers are at the top. And I think the Vikings are better than really what the odds are saying in the market. I don't have a bet on them, but because I think you're dealing with both situations. You're talking about likely rookie. I mean, we know one rookie quarterback, and then likely another rookie quarterback at another point. I think it's been the Bears and Bears betting has been fascinating to watch this offseason, because I know guys I respect that are on both sides of this.
This is what gets back to my point from the last segment. I feel like, and maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, but I feel like this year there are more teams that you genuinely have no idea how they're going to end up.
Yeah, I don't know about you though. This team specifically and the Bears win total. I have seen, and the VSiN betting guide, I think it's a great example.
They're all over the place.
And I think it's mainly guys. I think I saw a lot of the same bets that I have, where I bet the alt over under. So I'm laying like -160, but I'm betting under 9.5 wins for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, it's a great situation Caleb Williams is going into. There's no doubt about it.
Second best of the last quarter century.
And I can't argue that. Can you argue that?
No.
It probably is. But, it's still very, very lofty expectations for a rookie quarterback in a very tough division, in my opinion. And when you're talking about nine wins, a guy could still have a winning season and I can get that bet home.
And although his senior year was not as spectacular as his junior year, his stats were great.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, Caleb Williams talking about it at USC. Let me just talk about the Vikings before the break. Remember, they bounced between Dobbs, Hall, and Nick Mullins after the Kirk Cousins injury last year. Second half of the season, 28th as a result in passing DVOA from weeks 10 to 18. Not good. That was after Dobbs had his great moment there early. But then in the aggregate of it all, they were 28th out of 32 in DVOA, passing DVOA, from weeks 10 to 18. They signed Sam Darnold to a one-year deal worth $10 million. Then they made some cagey draft maneuvers that got them to only have to move up one place to get J.J. McCarthy. Remember, they still had enough draft capital to then do other things on defense as well. They end up getting some defensive help as well. Justin Jefferson. So there's quarterback room, if you will. The quarterback room, as people like to say it, not taking a big part of the salary cap. Justin Jefferson getting the most of the salary cap. Remember, it's Aaron Jones now in as their running back, their starting running back. And he really still, even though he's getting older, among 37 backs with at least 70 carries with the quarterback under center last season, Jones second in success rate behind only Kyron Williams of the Rams.
He's awesome.
The big thing with the Vikings, just trying to give context where others may have not. Brian Flores on defense. They have the most chaotic and arguably the most perplexing unit in the league. They blitzed on 50.7% of opposing dropbacks. Highest blitz rate for any team since 2014. But the high blitz rate didn't always work. They ended up only 21st in pressure rate and ranked 29th in DVOA when they sent six or more pass rushers. But because they're always throwing pass rushers in, when they only rushed two or three, they were actually, three or four, they were really good. Because the opposing offenses are like, well, I don't know if they're sending six. So it's this weird effect. So a lot is still relying on Brian Flores. The Vikings, though, 10-1, even with the Dallas Turner help now on defense coming through. 10-1 to win this division. We'll come back more on this next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, vsin.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. On the front page, Nigel Seeley on Olympic soccer, Wes Reynolds on the 3M Open, Lou Finicaro, Gamble Lou, UFC 304. He's got all his thoughts there as well. Steve Mackinnon, his MLB top plays of the day. It's all there at vsin.com. JVT on the Olympics men basketball team. Michael Lombardi, questions all NFC teams. It's all there. VSiN.com. Check it out. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. This is, let's see here. This is from, where did I leave off? This is from Hans Gruber. Loved Aaron Schatz on the show yesterday. Patriots without Hoodie. How do we even quantify? I am from England, he says. Originally, Manchester United without their version of Belichick has been dodgy since 2013. He says, my two cents, I think they're going to be truly awful. Maybe trade Judon. Aaron Schatz said they're going to win seven games yesterday, in case you missed that. Handicap Adana. I like that. He said, I had posted something that we had Rufus Peabody on the show on last week, and I had retweeted it this morning about his U.S. Open experience, how they ended up losing 300K, I think it was, but they could have lost 500K. Handicap Adana said, I had a similar issue last week where I stood to lose $13. Hit me up if you want to interview me about it. I will, Handicap Adana. Sounds like a big story. Jason H11, congratulations to Kelly for joining the old man's club. I'm proud of you. It only gets better from here. Lawrence Anderson, Superbox, perfect cable TV replacement. Check it out. Everybody's got a cable TV
everybody's got
workaround.
Yep.
Charlie D, USA number one. Scotty wins with the street cred tiebreaker. He's got the street cred. He's got the mugshot. Numbers, guys. I've never written before to disagree with one of y'all. However, and I'm sorry, Kelly, 30-1 doesn't seem like enough for a quarterback. I'm talking about Anthony Richardson, who had a shoulder injury and a concussion in his first month in the league.
Okay.
Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs 1. Kelly does not back off the Anthony Richardson thing.
It's 1 year. I don't know if we can say the guy's injury prone.
It's not even 1 year.
Even a year.
Cowboys underscore Cubs 1. Thank you for bringing warm, fuzzy feelings to me and all of your gillionaires this morning with two simple words. You had me at Anna Kournikova. Now I know how your buddy Tommy feels when he hears the words yoga pants. Oh, no, that's Wes. Thank you, though, for your knowledge about yoga pants. Yoga pants lives on. Jesse Welch, Kelly Bin Laden, he says, I don't mean to take anything away. Kelly, he's quoting you. He says, I don't mean to take anything away from the U.S. Open, and then immediately takes a lot away from the U.S. Open.
No, it was the British Open.
Logic 3227, are you saying Skeens is doing something that hasn't been done since Prohibition? And Don Stillwell, hey, Gil, your R&B knowledge is outstanding, but Gap Band 3, arguably their best. Great show. You know what? You're right. As I was saying Gap Band 5, I was like, maybe it's Gap Band 3. Gap Band 3, Burn Rubber, Humping, Yearning for Your Love, my God. But if you're to a Gap Band head, besides Party Train, Someday, You're My Everything, You're Something Special, check it out. Anyway, it's Gap Band knowledge this morning. Didn't expect that. Back to the Vikings for a second, Kelly. Back to the NFC North and the Vikings. Because I just want to emphasize what I said at the end. That Brian Flores' defense is the most fascinating part about the Vikings. When they blitz over 50% of the time, when they're sending five or six, it's actually not that successful. But when they send three or fewer, it is really successful. Because, large part, at least the case for FDN Almanac makes the case, that because offenses are still there, I don't know, maybe they are sending five or six. So it ends up being, in the aggregate, a top 10. Like, they just get to 10th in DVOA on defense for the whole year. And I mentioned the draft maneuvers. They were cagey, and they ended up in a situation after a trade where they only had to move up one to get J.J. McCarthy. We'll see how much he plays this year. How much will be Sam Darnold? How much will be J.J. McCarthy? And they still had enough draft capital to get Dallas Turner. The problem is for next year, if you're looking ahead of the Vikings beyond this year, all of that worked out well for McCarthy and Turner, but they don't have a second, third, or fourth next year currently. So that is that's not good.
Christian Darrisaw just got re-signed last night, I believe, or yesterday. He's got a big-time extension, one coming for Justin Jefferson here at some point. I think they kind of know what they've got going for, but of course it's never good to be going into a draft without those many picks. They lose Danielle Hunter, right? Van Ginkle comes over.
Ginkle is there now.
Dallas Turner. It'll be interesting because remember we talked. I remember last year, like even heading into the season, everybody was assuming that about Minnesota's defense. It was like, okay, there's not like a ton of talent here. You're probably going to see some blitz-heavy packages. Remember, we saw them blitz like those first 6 weeks. I think it was like a historic rate. Yeah.
But it will come down to that collective, the O'Connell Flores coaching. And this is the thing about the NFL. Like, as much as we talk about coaching on the bad side, the good coaching is just so much more important in this sport, I believe, than in others. Let's talk about the top of the division.
But that's another one. Like, give me that Minnesota coaching staff all day over what Chicago's rolling out.
That's right. At least they got rid of Luke Getsy in Chicago. But now here's the Lions. The Lions, this is probably the headline. I know people are like talking about all the personnel on the field. We have a lot of people who want Jared Goff or have bet Jared Goff for MVP. But that's the biggest thing about the Lions. They thought they were going to lose both of their coordinators. Remember, after they lose the NFC Championship, remember Dan Campbell came out. Here's the quote. I told those guys this may have been our only shot. Do I think that? No. Do I believe that? No. However, I know how hard it is to get here. I'm well aware, and it's going to be twice as hard to get back to this point next year than it was this year. That's the reality. If we don't have the same hunger and the same work, which is a whole other thing, once we get to the offseason, then we got no shot of getting back here. I don't care how much better we get or what we add or what we draft. It's irrelevant. It's going to be tough. Everybody in our division is going to be loaded back up, and you know you're not hiding from anybody anymore. Everybody's going to want a piece of you, which is fine, which is fine. He said that thinking he's going to lose both of his coordinators. He didn't lose either. Aaron Glenn stays as a defensive coordinator. Ben Johnson, who everybody thought was going to take the Washington job, stays as his offensive coordinator. So that continuity of that coaching staff might be a bigger point than anything. with the Detroit Lions. By the way, Ben Johnson, part of the rumor of why he was like done with Washington, with even with the new ownership, he was like, these basketball people are way too cocky about their football knowledge. Talking about Myers, Bob Myers, your favorite, and Josh Harris. But they signed, obviously, the big contracts now with the Lions. The Lions star players make up for a lot of their other spot, right? Penei Sewell, huge contract. Jared Goff, huge contract now. Amon-Ra St. Brown. They're kind of light behind Amon-Ra St. Brown now. It's because Josh Reynolds is gone. It's Jamison Williams, Khalif Raymond, and Donovan Peoples-Jones. Kind of nitpicking here, right? Goff.
Well, it's the Jamison Williams, like, this is the
year. You don't know.
He has to be good. Like,
gotta
he has to be good.
I agree completely. Goff, it's everything you know about Goff. He was pressured at the eighth lowest rate in the league last season. The Lions were eighth in DVOA and yards per play using play action in 2023. Eighth in DVOA from clean pocket, but Jared Goff, and every quarterback's like this, when you're under pressure, you tend to play worse. Not everyone, because there are some who play better. But Jared Goff is the greatest example. Goes from eighth to 23rd when he's under pressure. But they got four of their five offensive linemen back. They were sixth in pass defense through week nine. They dropped to 25th over the second half of the season. So that's their big sort of bugaboo, is their pass defense. But they end up with their first two picks getting Terrion Arnold from Alabama and Ennis Rakestraw from Mizzou. So they have the Lions projecting as a top 10 offense and perhaps more surprisingly a top 10 defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess this is a big schedule factor team for me this year. First seven games and 13 of their first 14 games are being played indoors. Part of why you're hearing a lot of the Jared Goff love this year. And Lions are expected to face one of the easier pass defenses amongst on their schedule. So I don't know about you, Gil. Lions are – I brought this up yesterday. Lions, I've got kind of power ranked third in the NFC behind 49ers and the Eagles for me. But I do stand by what I said yesterday with them. Like what you brought up with the Ravens, the Lions, I would be shocked about if they were.
The question I asked was, which is the team? Let's put the Chiefs to the side because they have Mahomes. Which is the team that you could least likely see falling off a cliff? And I said it's always the Ravens.
Yeah. Yep.
And you said your number two would be the Lions.
Lions, I would throw in there. Yeah. More so than any other NFC team. Even though I have Philadelphia and 49 and San Francisco ranked above them, like you brought up Brock Purdy as an example yesterday. Lions, I would be far more shocked if they just fell off a cliff this year.
We'll get to the NFC West coming up, but let me finish out the NFC North. The Packers are very closely lined right behind the Lions. 19th in offensive DVOA through week nine. And then Matt LaFleur said to Jordan Love, you're thinking too much. Let me change my offense. Let me spread the field a little more. And then Jordan Love went off with an open field. After their week nine game, they beat the Rams 20-3. LaFleur said, shut your mind off, let it rip. And they did. Offense jumped to second in DVOA over the second half of the season. Packers, by the way, in rushing with this spread open field, went from 25th in DVOA, rushing DVOA over the first half of the season to 7th during the second half. All of this was, you know, a focus on cohesiveness within the structure of the offense, helping open gaps, allowing for Jordan Love to not have to think as much, to roll out a lot. They are young as all get out, too. They're the youngest team in the league by snap-weighted age. Jaden Reed, a 2023 second-round pick. Dontavian Wicks, a fifth-round pick in that same year. Joe Barry relieved of his duties after the Packers finished 27th in weighted defensive DVOA. They hired Jeff Hafley. Remember, he's the guy who left his head coaching job at BC to say, yeah, I'd rather just be a coordinator in the NFL. But when he was the defensive backs coach at Ohio State, they had the second best defense in college football per Bill Connolly's SP+. So the big thing with Green Bay, they had just seven picks last season, 31st in the league. There's a lot of trust in the young corners to go and get the ball now. If they can generate more turnovers, that's going to make a huge difference because they could not take the ball away. It's an interesting division. We'll do some NFC West next. See ya on the other side with golf and football.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
July's ending with a bang. UFC 304 has not just one, but two titles on the line. Get your own crown. Jump in on all the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VSiN. That's code VSIN for new customers. Get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours. Kelly, I cannot say this enough. The DraftKings offices, that little area down by Durango Casino in Vegas, What a What a great little city within a city.
Yeah.
Just want to point that out. Had a great lunch.
Great spot.
Had a great lunch spot there yesterday at General Admission.
I'll be doing the same thing today, I think.
You, before we get to Sia, Sia is standing by, Sia Najad, before you very innocently, you looked over your shoulder and you said to me, Gil, what the hell is this? I believe is what you said. And my answer to you is, this is actually the Olympics. This is before the opening ceremonies. They're playing soccer. This is legitimate Olympics right here you're watching.
Are there other sports doing that? I mean, this is...
I don't think so. I think this is the first.
This is it?
So far.
Okay.
And you also correctly asked the question. You asked two other great questions. One, who the heck is Argentina playing? Because it says M-A-R.
Yep.
It's Morocco. And then your even more poignant question was... Wait, they're beating Argentina? Isn't this an upset? Because it is 2-1 in the 86th minute in favor of Morocco. What was the line on this? Why is my voice doing
I don't
that?
Know, but also like men's soccer in the Olympics, right? Like they don't roll anybody out for it. Women's soccer.
Oh, is that how it goes?
Yeah, women's soccer, I think you still get like the elite players. Men's soccer, like Argentina does, this is like their C squad.
Let's go, Israel. Counting on you.
Like, this is where I think this like the only reason why teams like Morocco have a chance against Argentina is because of that.
There you go. You've cracked the code once again. Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Sia Najad. That's S-I-A-N-E-J-A-D. And he comes to us talking football and golf, as always. We love having him from the DMV, the Monumental Sports Network. It's Sia Najad. How you doing, Sia?
I'm doing really well. I'm excited to talk both golf and NFL. We're Darren Sproles days away from NFL kickoff. Very exciting stuff.
That means 43, right?
That's right.
43. I do that with old Skins jerseys, by the way. I tell people all the time, I remember phone numbers that way. I'm like, Charlie Taylor, Larry Brown, that way. Do you do that at all? Mnemonics?
Well, the player I used, yes, I do, but the player I used yesterday when I did one of my other shows, The Early Edge, was John Riggins. So I'm always paying homage. And when there was, you'll like this, Gil, when there was 52 days from football season, I used Neil Olkowitz, which was a reference that only I got, but it was still worth it.
Well, you didn't give it to me because I would have gotten in a heartbeat. But me and my buddies, we exchanged when they turn a certain age. We're like, hey, Mel Kaufman, right? Like we... And it's funny how you do that from the players largely of your childhood, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's a rare player of modern day.
That's right.
To the way our brains work in evolution, how much our childhood teams mean to us. All right. Mm-hmm. We just talked, Kelly and I did, about the NFC North, where the Lions are the short shot. But the Green Bay Packers are closely lined behind them after Jordan Love's great emergence last year. The Bears, and we just discussed, according to FTN, Caleb Williams going into the second best situation of any quarterback drafted in the top 12 in the last 25 years. Only Dante Culpepper going into a situation with Randy Moss and Chris Carter was better than the one that Caleb Williams is coming into. So you have not only the Lions at 10.5, Packers 9.5, Bears 8.5, but you've got to win the division plus 150, plus 210, and plus 265 respectively. Vikings are a different story. They're at 6.5. They're at 10-1 to win the division. Kelly is giggling. I have no idea why.
Olympics is under 23, apparently.
Under 23. That's why Morocco is beating Argentina. Sorry, Sia.
Think it's Vegas regular.
Sorry, Sia. Go ahead. Please answer the question.
Well, first of all, I think it's under 23, but you have three players that are allowed to be over that age. So I think you get like a three veteran maximum. But still, to Kelly's original point, like this is definitely not the A team on the men's side. So that's why you're seeing Morocco potentially. I'm sure it's an upset regardless. But speaking of upsets, I mean, when we talk about the NFC North, I think the odds are properly aligned here. If I'm looking at like Super Bowl odds, I'm more intrigued by the Packers number because I think that offense is like really hard to stop. And I do think they made some upgrades on defense that are worth, kind of moving lines or appreciating a plus 1900 to win the Super Bowl. But the Lions are the team that's stacked on both sides. And they had an unbelievable off season on the defensive side of the ball. They still have the offense and of course the home games. I think Kelly mentioned that last segment where, you know, indoor they get to play a lot. So I would choose the Lions here from a win total standpoint. I think the Bears fall at 8. I do agree. Caleb Williams is in a great situation. I thought that this defense really stepped it up once they got Montez Sweat. late last year. Obviously, the offense should be good. I think they're going to be at 8 wins. I kind of like the under in that one. I like the Packers as a long shot Super Bowl winner, but if I'm talking just division, the Lions at plus 150 is probably the play here.
So you got the Packers as the team with the three starting pitchers that could make some noise in the postseason, basically.
That's exactly right. And it's part of the reason, like part of the reason for that is because it's plug and play at the receiver position. The way this offense works, I mean, we're talking Dontavian Wicks or Christian Watson or Jaden Reed, like name the player. They've got a couple of tight ends that are really good too. That offense is really hard to stop. And once it gets humming, I don't care who you are, like they're going to put points on the board. So it's just a matter of their defense stepping up. I think in terms of the NFC, I think it's really four teams. It's the Niners. It's in this order, the Niners, the Lions, the Packers, and the Eagles probably tied for that third spot. I think any of them can win, but for me, it's really the Niners and the Lions if those teams stay relatively healthy.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Eagles being there. Like, I agree with the sentiment that I don't know that Jalen Hurts picks up on the Kellen Moore offense, as any transition would be, right? I don't mm-hmm. think the Eagles start out that quickly. Okay, let's get to golf. The 3M mm-hmm. Open, otherwise known as the tournament after the Open Championship. Tony Finau, 11-1. Sam Burns, 18-1. Ashke Bhatia at 20-1. Sahith Theegala at 22-1. As well as Billy Horschel, who had himself a run at the Open Championship. He's also at 22-1. Let's start with the outrights.
Yeah, this is interesting because I treat this, because it's after the Open, I almost treat this like an alt event like we had with the Barracuda and the ISCO the last 2 weeks. And I actually did really well in those tournaments, partly because I didn't flirt with the top of the board. I kind of went down the board a little bit when it came to the first round leaders and to the outrights. And I've done really well. I hit Nick Dunlap last week at 45-1. We'll get to first round leaders, but I also hit Ben Silverman at 60-1. So I like these tournaments quite a bit because those favorites are going to gobble up a lot of the money, and it pushes some of the odds down for players that are either just as talented or maybe even more talented, or at least have the potential to be for four rounds. Luke Clanton is one of those guys. He is obviously new on the scene, but his talent and his course fit, even though he hasn't played here before, I think at 25-1, if he reads this course right and he takes the correct chances, he's so good off the tee with the accuracy and of course with the length, he can really get hot. And on a course like this, if he doesn't find the water, I think he can win. Keith Mitchell's an interesting case at 35-1, a horrific putter, but he's played here 2 out of 3 times, and it's pretty crazy. He's gained with the putter in a big way. Now, the corollary to that is that he's lost on approach, but that's an unusual thing for Keith Mitchell. And I think now that he's been at this course a few times, he's going to kind of correct the mistakes with the ball striking. He's still finished really well. The last 2 times here, he's finished 5th each time. And that's with poor approach play. So I think he has a ton of upside, some downside too. JT Poston, really good course fit. The recent form has been pretty sketchy, but really like JT Poston at 35-1. And then finally, a couple bombs. Ben Griffin at 50-1, approach play, putter, looking for that here with Ben Griffin. And then Ben Coles 5, he's 170-1 in some places, 150-1, 125-1 in other places. I just love his metrics. I think he's got a shot because of his approach and putting game, and he's pretty accurate off the tee as well.
All right, I buried the headline. You sent me and Kelly a text this week. Would you like to tell everybody why?
Yeah. Well, you guys say I'm the first round leader king, and it really hasn't been that way much of this year, although I did hit Ashke Bhatia at 65-1 a couple of months back, I believe at the Valero. But 2 weeks ago at the ISCO, I hit a 60-1 Pearson Cootie first round leader. Last week at the Barracuda, I hit a 60-1 Ben Silverman first round leader. I've been really hot in that department, and I got a lot of bombs for this week, including one 60-1 shot. So maybe we can make it 3 in a row at plus 6,000.
Maybe we can. What do you got? Who's your first round leader? You have a bunch of these you're betting.
I have a bunch, and they're mostly long shots. And just full disclosure here, I mean, these are kind of like sprinkle bets. There's usually one or two that I'll put a few more bucks on, but the rest I'm putting like $2 to $3 on because the odds are so long. I've got 7 here total. 2 are in like the oh my gosh range in terms of triple digits. Keith Mitchell at 50-1. Nick Dunlap at 50-1. I mean, he just won the tournament last week. His temperament is such that I think he'll be firing on all cylinders round one. Ben Griffin is the 60-1 shot. I'll mention Ben Griffin and JT Poston were my first clicks from an outright standpoint. He's my only 60-1 shot here, and I've been good with the 60-1s over the last 2 weeks, so maybe we make it a triple with Ben Griffin. The other ones, Lee Hodges 70-1, Chandler Phillips at 100-1, and Ben Coles at 110-1. Again, sprinkle bets, but I do like that Ben Griffin at plus 6,000.
Ben Coles.
Never walk away from the table when you're on a heater.
That's what Sia's right. doing right now.
Sia, we rarely get the group text from Sia, so we knew something was up. We're like, oh, what did Sia do?
I like cocky Sia. It was a little bit of a cocky Sia text. It was great. It was awesome.
Oh, it was.
Put on fire, man.
Sia Najad from the Monumental Sports Network in the DMV. Thank you, Sia, as always, for your thoughts on both football and golf, man. We appreciate it. Good luck with the first round.
All right, fellas. See you soon.
My man. At SIANEJAD. We talked NFC North. Why don't we talk some NFC West on the other side? Maybe we'll start at the top this time. It's a numbers game at VEASAN, the Sports Betting Network.